2:15 ABC Radio. I'm Jill. There was a big Australian study out this week, you might recall. It showed how much commutes had grown around the country, pretty much every major Australian city, I believe, grown in the last few years. So plenty of you had even moved house or moved jobs just to shave some time off this endless car trip you would take in the morning and then home again. But there's one WA family who went completely against the grain when it comes to growing commute times, and they don't have to worry, or they didn't then, about traffic jams for a very good reason. They gave up their car. Anthony James was living in Scarborough with his partner Olivia at the time. Hello to you, Anthony.
Hi, Jill. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, I know you've been busy and we'll talk about what else you've been up to in a minute.
Sure.
But I want to go back to car-free to start with. Take me back to that time and tell me what's going through your mind.
when we got rid of it?
Yeah.
By the time we got rid of it, it was, oh, thank God. And, you know, we're getting around on bikes a lot, actually, and public transport certainly, share cars where needed, neighbours even, and reciprocating with other gifts. But by that point where we took the plunge, It, you know, we would get around on the streets after that and just pity the traffic in logjam. And of course, knowing, you know, partly the research I do, knowing some of the findings that you just cited and that our air pollution is actually getting worse, we're going backwards after having cleaned up our act sort of post-industrial revolution. And that comes with thousands of fatalities a year that we scarcely hear about. We just hear about the direct crashes. So it sort of was like, oh, yeah, thank God we're out of the quagmire of the massive traffic, which is only going to get worse until we more of us sort of make this change and, of course, till our traffic systems help us make the change.
And that's interesting. I'll ask you about traffic systems. But So you were living in Scarborough. Did you have your son at the time as well as your partner?
Yeah, we did. And that's one of the things we ended up presenting on a little bit, because one of the classic sort of retorts is that, all well and good till you have kids. But it was the joy only sort of amplified. I mean, the challenges came. You had to find your way.
Yeah.
So we got a bike trailer and we scoped out. We certainly went easy to find out how to navigate the right back roads and to see what drivers' reactions would be. And it was actually fascinating to watch the doubly wide berth cars would give you. So when you had a trailer on, there was this terrific amplification of respect and care amongst people, which we didn't necessarily expect.
Do you think?
Well, we were looking into it, and certainly what we noticed is it was most evident with women, and we couldn't help but sort of draw the inference that women, perhaps with children, have a heightened empathy. It's like, oh, don't go near that little cargo, you know? But really, I think it's nothing different to what we found by and large in getting around the city on our bikes and foot, is that people by and large do look out for each other. It's actually when you're in the heat of the quagmire of the traffic that you're talking about, that's where we get tense and agitated. If we get out of that, our better selves tend to, and you know, that's partly why we opted for it as well, our better selves, our healthier selves, our less stressed selves, our less indebted selves, all that came to be.
Wow. Actually, it's interesting you say that, because I was listening, and I should mention this because I have been slaying my poor bloke at every opportunity this week. So I should say, he was speaking at this panel at the Disrupted Festival on the weekend. He said this really interesting thing that blew my mind about merging, Anthony. And he said, can Perth drivers not merge because they can't merge, or can they not merge because they think everyone else can't merge and they're reacting to the people who can't merge? So we're all actually, we could merge if we just did the right thing and assumed everyone else would too.
I really like that. It tends to recur, that message, in a whole, because part of what I do is look into a whole range of different fields of sustainability, if you like. And and the cross threads really fascinate me. And that is one of them, actually, that in fact they find even. You might have heard of the universal basic income, the idea that everybody gets a basic income for nothing, no threads attached. I mean, another big topic we could talk about another day. But basically what's interesting is people think, oh, yeah, that'd be great. I'd make use of it so well. But other people, they'd waste it. You know, so we have this sort of reflex action in our culture of thinking the worst of people. when actually it's proven time and time again, certainly in our experience on the road, you know, the topic in point today, to be the opposite. You know, from little things like certainly the wide berth and people slowing down to people pulling up beside you if you've dropped your coat off the back or something. It's a lovely way to, not that it's utopia, of course, you have your other encounters too, but the majority, the vast majority, are indeed a wonderful thing out of the pressure cooker of the traffic jam.
How did you find, so you're getting from Scarborough, so where were you going from Scarborough to work?
Yeah, well, we still live in Scarborough. We're just spending a bit more time out of it with work and some of the stuff we're doing, but we still live in Scarborough. And yeah. So our boy goes to school in Wembley, Wembley Down, so we cycle to school in the car. So we commute to school. That's probably our most common thing at the moment. And I'll commute to the uni occasionally, UWA, from Scarbs. And, you know, we would love these things to be better serviced by public transport. There is plenty of scope for improvement there. We go so much faster by bike. It's not funny. But we also go faster than car if you take into account the time you need to work to pay for its purchase, its service, its insurance, its crashes, let alone you need to go to the gym afterwards or whatever. They actually call that the effective speed. The effective average speed of the car in cities tends to be under 13 kilometres an hour. So us riding our bike to school would take about 30, 40 minutes, depending on the headwinds or whatever, and the car would take maybe 25, 20, something like that. But we have to do an effective multiplier of how long it takes you in the car, 2, 3, maybe 4 times in some cases, to get an apples and apples comparison. So we actually know paradoxically, it doesn't feel like it because you come last in the face-to-face race, but we know in the holistic picture of things that we're actually getting there quicker. And if you can shift that sort of understanding of traffic and speed in cities, everything changes. That was actually the straw that broke the camel's back in my case. I came to understand in my mind what I was experiencing and all the stress and tension on the road, and that was where I thought, that's it, make the cut.
That is also quite mind-blowing, Anthony James. Gave up the car a while ago. So how long have you been car-free when you were living in Perth? Because I believe you live down south as well. Well, you've been down south for a bit, so you're not always car-free now.
Well, no, it's that we got a car to do the travel for some of the work we're doing, some of the research and podcasting around the country with pastoralists, Aboriginal folk, people in cities, artists, academics, and we're continuing to do spots of that around the country to profile people who are taking a different approach, whether it's in traffic or whether it's in pastoralism or in business, particularly up north in the Kimberley now, where it's either we go the old route of industrialising heavy in dams and big agriculture, or we go the new route of renewables and bush medicine and bush foods. These sorts of junctures are all over the place now, whether we're talking traffic or a multitude of other things. So we've got a car for that now, and we travel to do this in a car. When we're back in Perth, it just sits there, mostly like everybody else's. 96% of the time, the average car just sits there, parked. Even the ones that are used. So that's why car share systems and the like are coming into vogue more and more now. It's just a waste by any measure, really.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, when you think how little you actually use your car. Anthony, so how long did you go car-free for? When did you give it up?
Yeah, well, 2000, actually.
Nearly 20 years.
Yeah. And you know, spot purchases in that time. So partner had to go to college in Malaga, actually, at the time. So that was proving to be a nightmare for her. So spot purchase, she used it for that period of time for the course, then sold it. But by and large, as your default, and for most of that time certainly, some of it was in inner city Melbourne, so there are degrees of ease.
Sure. You know?
But certainly a fair chunk in, the last 4 years and probably a few other years in that mix in Scarborough.
Well, you were talking about how traffic systems could help us.
Yeah.
Now, just explain that concept.
Yeah. So we're talking about public transport systems that link up, so that do more than just go into a central node, that get around the place and that link up so that you're not, for example, missing a bus connection or just having to wait for one once you get off a train somewhere.
Yeah.
It's the sort of stuff that people have been working at for a while, but it's still very, very, relatively speaking, it's still poor. This government is trying to look at it too, which is great. You know, the West Australian government, certainly local governments all over the place are doing more in terms of even turning roads into shared boulevards, they call them now, where bikes and have equal priority to cars. And ultimately, the shift in the public transport systems, the better bike lanes, all of that really comes from viewing the traffic hierarchy, as we often call it, in the other way. So viewing it as prioritising active transport, walking, cycling, skating, whatever, and public transport, prioritising those things, and shared transport, if I want to call that a little different model over there, with shared bikes and shared cars, which is increasing all the more really fast, to do all those things as a priority to the car traffic. So don't build any more lanes on those freeways. Stop it.
Too late.
It just causes, then it shouldn't even be called freeways anymore. It's called induced traffic. We've known it for 20 or 30 years. We fill it. Oh, there's space. I can go now. We all go and it fills up again. The commute time's increasing again. And we're sitting here going, of course it is. We have to change that sort of priority scale and actually make it attractive too. Like sometimes we'll go to Stirling train station and there's roaring traffic on either side. It's not pleasant. We stick at it because we know the benefits in the big picture, but make it pleasant, make it the way to go. And that'll make it a lot easier for more of us, of course, to get on board, so to speak. And in the meantime, we just got to go on your own sort of personal benefits and try to break the mold.
Yeah, well, it's a good. I mean, my mum is at the other end of the scale, Anthony. Mum feels like, you know, she's getting ready to give up work. She's in her 70s and has had a car for years. She's thinking, well, I might give up my car. And I said, well, you know, what are you going to do about, you know, we can help you a bit with your shopping and stuff like that. But she said, honestly, with the expense of keeping a car, she can use public transport and she can take the odd rideshare or taxi if she needs to, and it's still much cheaper than insurance, particularly as you get older and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. So there's lots of ways around it.
You're absolutely right, and that is fascinating and a brilliant story because it is increasing. There are more of us doing it now. What's most fascinating to me about hearing that is that most commonly it's the other end of the generational spectrum. It's the younger people who aren't even bothering to get licences now in many cases. They're living closer. They're coming back in towards the city. They're living with an access, not ownership mindset that, like you just expounded, they get a service when they need it, appropriate to the task, and don't lumber themselves with a massive cost of something that sits still 96% of the time. And even when they use it, get stuck in increasingly longer commute times and all the lifestyle implications of that. They stay free. You know, what used to be the freedom machine when the car first sort of came on, it's now the opposite. The freedom is actually in getting rid of it and having access to it when you need it, as well as all these other traffic systems, so that we can just choose the right tool for the job, as it were.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Anthony James is a facilitator and educator in sustainability and gave up the car nearly 20 years ago. So, Anthony, if someone is listening, they think, well, I live in Perth and it'd be really hard for me to give up my car, but, you know, I've listened to what you say and I'm intrigued. What would your best advice as a starting point be?
I mean, firstly, I should say I'm certainly happy to help. I'm happy to give tips and share what we've learned. But really, the best thing to do to start is just experiment. There's a whole sort of setup you end up with to make life easy, including for shopping and obviously for taking kids to school or getting to work, etc. But just experiment. Set a relatively low bar and just try something for a week and see how you go. And you'll learn, and you'll, as you search online, you'll find that there's plenty there. You're not alone. You'll hear more things like this, which is lovely. Just try something you haven't done. We used to do this with our students and will again. Just put the keys away for a week. try living without using your car. Use your share car or whatever if you want. But don't use your privately owned car for a week, 1 week. If you're game, do it for a month. That'd be even better because more habit-forming time is sort of in that ballpark of a month. But in a week, at least break the mold and try something on the other side, and then you can toy with your balance and how you can make things work.
Yeah, and perhaps do the finances as well as you were talking about before.
Spot on. Yes,
Anthony,
Jill.
So good to chat to you again. Thank you very much.
It's a great pleasure. Yeah, lovely to speak. Thanks, Jill.
Anthony James, and he works in sustainability, gave up the car a long time ago. Greg says, on our recent holiday in Exmouth, we took our bikes, managed to do 85 Ks on bikes at $1.75 a litre for diesel. We save a stack of money too. Linda says, it's why I love Melbourne and their trams, so easy to get around.